Like you said, my name is Wes Wood. I'm from Auburn University. I'm talking to you today about some work that one of my master's students finished up last year, and that's Rick Brown. And Edzard Van Zanten is our forage breeder, and Charles Mitchell is our extension soil fertility specialist. And I do research and teaching in soil fertility and environmental stuff. We decided to start doing some work on switchgrass, of course, because of the push towards bioenergy. And renewable energy has increased since the middle of the decade, and biomass has become a larger part of that. If you look at this chart over here, renewable energy is up to about 8%, and if you look at biofuels are about 20% of that. If you include wood and waste products, then biomass is actually about 50% of the renewable energy, and it continues to increase. Now, the goal, of course, is to increase that even further and get a higher percentage of our fuels and chemicals and so forth from biomass by 2030. And if you know about the billion-ton report by U.S. DOE and USDA, about a billion tons or 900 million megagrams is needed to meet this goal by 2030. The two grasses that we were interested in are native grasses, big blue stem up top over here, and switchgrass. They're both warm season, and as I said, they're native. They have a C4 pathway, which makes them fairly efficient and fairly high biomass. They've been used primarily for forage in the past, and there's been quite a bit of work on switchgrass to date, not so much on fertility, and especially in the South, and that's why we pursued this work. They're both efficient at recovering nutrients, and the reason is they have, I know more about switchgrass because we did extensive work on rooting on it back in the late 90s. Switchgrass roots down to about 3 meters is what we found, and so it's very efficient at picking up nutrients. Nitrogen responses have varied in these crops. Big blue stem has been shown to respond up to about 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And switchgrass, highly variable depending on the situation. Phosphorus, anywhere from no response to small amounts of phosphorus responding. And none of the research that we've seen to date, including ours today, has shown any response to potassium fertilization. So our objective was to determine nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium requirements for these grasses as a biomass crop. And we're talking about a one-time harvest, which has been shown to be most efficient for dry matter production in these grasses. And again, the reason why we did this is because we have no fertility recommendations for switchgrass or big blue stem in Alabama, and most of the southeastern states don't have it either. So we wanted to establish some of these criteria. Our methods, we were working on a coastal plain soil down at Bruton, Alabama. We had a split plot with fertility treatments were the main plots and subplots were the species. We planted it back in 2007. We let it establish for a year. The varieties were Alamo for switchgrass and Big Earl for big blue stem. And we had various treatments of N, P, and K, wide range of rates to evaluate. And you'll see we got some pretty good curves with these. Sampling, I'm not going to talk about soil today, but we did sample that. Plant tissue, we sample once a month because we wanted to try to establish critical nitrogen concentrations across the season. So if a guy wanted to go in and fertilize mid-season, if he saw a deficiency, he could take a tissue test and determine that. Harvest, the normal type harvest where you cut the two middle rows of the plots, take a weigh the biomass, and then take a subsample for dry matter yield. And then you calculate the dry matter yield, of course, by the whole plot yield times the percent dry matter. We did calculate some relative yields for nitrogen because as we established these grasses, the first year they had, you know, smaller amounts of biomass than the second year and the third year. So for nitrogen, at least, I'll show you relative yield. We did nutrient removal. I'm not going to look at that so much today. And we analyzed the data in SAS. Overall, the yield responses showed that switchgrass yields are much higher than big blue stem. If I were going to recommend to somebody to a biomass crop to grow for cellulosic fuel, it would definitely be switchgrass over big blue stem. Big blue stem was down in the 2 to 3,000 kilogram per hectare range. Switchgrass, anywhere during the establishment years to the third year, up to 20,000 kilograms per hectare. Big blue stem actually yielded higher the second year than it did in the first year, so I'm not sure what was going on there, but that happened. As far as nitrogen response, we showed diminishing returns, a nice curve with that. We got no response to phosphorus or potassium the first 2 years of the trial. Now, this is the relative yield. You see percent yield on the y-axis, and this is for nitrogen response, and you see, and this is the 3 years of data combined. So you can see we got a nice response. Now, since we've normalized that data, you know, it looks like big blue stem is the same as switchgrass, but remember the yields are quite different. This is percent yield as a percentage of the highest yields. Now, this is actual yield. This is phosphorus and potassium responses, and remember this is the first 2 years. That's actual dry matter yield on the y-axis and kilograms of either P205 or K2O, and you can see these responses are flat. The first 2 years, we really didn't get a significant statistical response, and so our conclusion from this is that the first 2 years, these plants are mining phosphorus and potassium, and you really don't have to apply much. You need to apply nitrogen, but not P and K. Now, by the third year, after the graduate student left, we kept collecting data, and because we were curious about this phosphorus and potassium response. And so you see that top curve up there is actually 2010, and this is for switchgrass. And those bottom two curves are the same ones I showed you in the last graph. So you see we got no response the first 2 years, but you can see we're getting a response to phosphorus as the stand becomes bigger, as it becomes established. So that leads us to believe that phosphorus is going to be needed for these crops as time, at least for switchgrass, as time goes on. We calculated net return for the first 2 years based on a nitrogen price of $1.30 per kilogram of nitrogen and two biomass prices. For a ton of biomass at $65 per megagram or $100 per megagram, just depending on, we didn't know exactly what you would get for it. The low price is about what you could get for a ton of hay. The high price, maybe we could get that for biomass, who knows. We got no response. This is a big blue stem up top. You can see at $100 and also the first year, these curves really no economic response. The second year, the second year on for $100, we did get a response with big blue stem, but not much. And remember, big blue stem is yielding much less than switchgrass is. But if you look down here at switchgrass, by the third year, we got a pretty good diminishing returns curve here, and the net return is getting up pretty good, and this is return to nitrogen fertilization. So about 150 kilograms per hectare on the switchgrass curve, and so it lops off about there, and so we do feel that nitrogen application to switchgrass is warranted. Another thing we did, I mentioned earlier, is that we looked at tissue concentrations across time during the season. The first year we got a fertilizer out late in 2008. In 2009 we got it out much earlier because plants were bigger and we wanted to go ahead and get that response going. But these two curves represent 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare versus zero, the control, and you can see there's a big gap in the nitrogen concentration. This is total nitrogen concentration in the uppermost fully developed leaves of those plants. And so there is a pretty good gap between those. And so what that tells you is during the season that you could identify nitrogen deficiency. And so a producer, if you're growing for biomass and you're only doing one harvest per year, and you're probably doing that in October or November, sometime in midsummer, if you went out and did tissue samples, you could identify a nitrogen deficiency and be able to go out there and add some supplemental nitrogen. So in summary, first of all, I didn't put this point up there. Switchgrass out-yields Big Blue Stem tremendously. And so that's going to be the crop that in Alabama that we'll probably concentrate on if we go to producing biomass in a big way. We got responses to nitrogen fertilization, and we got an economic response for switchgrass. And for Big Blue Stem, we determined that it's really not probably not useful to add any fertilizer to it because it's really the response and the economic response to nitrogen is just not there. And in fact, I just wouldn't grow Big Blue Stem for a biomass crop. We didn't get responses to phosphorus or potassium for switchgrass during the first 2 years after establishment, but during the third year it did show up, so that tells us that we're going to need phosphorus. Now, these plants will take up phosphorus and potassium, even though we're not getting a response to them. They took up more in a linear fashion, but we didn't get the yield response to it, so they're taking up P and K in a luxury type fashion. We did determine that you can use tissue samples to determine in-season nitrogen deficiencies, and you could correct that. So what we're recommending is 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare for switchgrass. We're saying that you probably won't have to apply, depending on the situation, you probably, and remember, these are coastal plain soils with very low phosphorus in them. So the first couple of years, you probably won't have to apply phosphorus, and we didn't get any response to potassium. In later years, for switchgrass, you will need to add some phosphorus. And, of course, as we're going to continue to carry this study on, and sometime down the road, we expect to get a phosphorus response as well. But it hasn't shown up yet. So, at any rate, I'll take any questions if y'all have some. On switchgrass, it was up upwards around 20,000 kilograms per hectare. Third year. Yes. Yeah, up at 150 kilograms per hectare. Yeah, they were all nice diminishing returns type curves. Anyone else? All right,
thank
then.
Thank you very much.
I won't be able to stick around for the